Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved one. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, here in the United States of America. It's a blessing to have you listening in today on this broadcast. We are running for Jesus, as you know. Yesterday I was sharing on an overcoming life, and we're going to go that route again today. Well, things are moving on fine here in Dallas. The weather seems to be, like I said last time, I think looks like it's going to rain. It's cooling down. Temperatures are going down. And we're going to have a pretty good weather. I don't know where you are, how things are, excuse me, and what plans you have for today. But you know what? It's important to listen to the Word of God, because as you do, you make yourself ready. You build yourself in the most holy faith. You become a strong person, and you become a person who becomes an overcomer. It's interesting to see that by God's grace, we are children of God who are mandated to have victory in this life. As long as you are born again, you have a promise from the Lord that He will see you through in whatsoever you're going through. And today's message, you know, I've been looking at is entitled Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba presents Moving Forward Today, Win Against All Odds. It says war odds, it says all odds, winning against all odds. That means no matter what's in our way, we are still a people who are going to win. Moving forward today, win against all odds. All right. So I encourage you, beloved one, in the name of Jesus, to be a person of great faith, you know, a people who are going to stand their ground and say, hey, you know what? No matter what the devil does, I'm going to win. No matter what happens, God is going to see me through. You see, it takes faith to believe God that no matter the odds means the negative things that have been taking place in your life, the things that are displeasing, the things that seem to block your future. Despite those things, you're still destined to win. This is the key, a key factor to our success in life. No matter what is coming your way, no matter what the devil throws in your path, you are determined, you are to win. And win, you're going to win big. It's very, very important for us to realize that. And so I encourage you in the name of the Lord, as we get through this word today, that you come to this realization that God is on your side. No matter the odds, no matter the problems that you are facing, God will see you through. I'd like us to reflect on the Word of God today, to look at the book of Joshua and chapter number 6. And as you know, Joshua was Moses' assistant. And you know, we pastors, it's important that we have assistants, because, you know, assistants become the future directors of ministries. They become the future leaders of ministries, because as they assist us, as they work with us, our right-hand men, the mantle falls on them. I remember my years in Nigeria, where I worked with the Archbishop for 2 years. I was in Bible school there. I was a senior school prefect in the second year, and I started living with the bishop at his house. During those days, I learned a lot. And, you know, because of my association with the man of God, I received the mantle of the Holy Spirit. I received that anointing, and I became one of the men who was to carry the fire of the Holy Ghost in Africa, being imparted to me by him through association. And the bishop used to teach many times in the Bible school. He would come periodically to share the Word of God and teach the students. And every message he gave was challenging. Messages to make us well-equipped, to make us formidable men and women of faith, who'll be able to overcome whatever odds we face. Then on top of that, I had a studies letter with Rhema. And Rhema, you know, Kenneth Huggins was a strong teacher. He's now going to be with the Lord, the Kenneth Huggins Sr. But his son, too, is a man of great faith, a man who does and believe God at a high level. He has accomplished great things in his walk of faith. And so, you know, these are examples of people who have been turned around because of the mantle that they received on their lives. Another person in the Bible we can see who received the mighty mantle was Elisha. See, Elisha was Elijah's assistant. And as the Lord was about to take Elijah away from Elisha and from the scene of ministry here on earth, he asked Elisha what he would have him do for him before he was taken away. And Elisha said, you know, he needed a double portion of the Spirit of God. And so I'm here to challenge you, beloved one, wherever you are, if you are a minister, make sure you have an assistant or somebody who's, you know, who is always with you, who understudies you, who can receive the mantle and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, guess what? You're going to have power to achieve things. You have power to work in life and do exploits. And so we look here in Joshua chapter number 1, Joshua 6 and verse number 1. He says, now Jericho, a fenced town with high walls, was tightly closed because of the Israelites. No one went out or came in. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, by the way. So the English is more contemporary. Although they have a Bible called the Contemporary Bible, but the Amplified Bible amplifies the texts so you can understand them much more quicker. Like in our everyday language, in a sense. Verse number 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho, its king and mighty men of valor, into your hands. You shall march around the enclosure, all the men of war going around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and on the 7th day you shall march around the enclosure 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. When they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the enclosure shall fall down in its place, and the people shall go up over it, every man straight before him. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. He said to the people, go on, march around the enclosure, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. Then, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests, who blew the trumpets, and rear guard came after the ark, the priests blowing the trumpets as they went. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or let your voice be heard, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So he caused the ark of the Lord to go around the city once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, passed on, blowing the trumpets continually. And the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, the priests blowing the trumpets as they went. Joshua, this is from the book of Joshua, chapter number 6, and we're reading now in verse number 14. On the second day, they compassed the city enclosure once and returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. On the 7th day, they rose early at daybreak and marched around the city as usual. Only that day, 7 times. Verse 16. And the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city, and all that is in it, it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab, the harlot, and all who are with her in her house shall leave, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. You keep yourselves from the accursed and devoted things, lest when you have devoted destruction, you take over." They raised a great shout, and Jericho war, and Jericho's wall fell down in its place, so that the Israelites went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Verse number 21. Then they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Joshua chapter 6, verse 22. It's a long text, but you are catching the meaning. But Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the harlot's house and bring out the woman and all she has, as you swore to her." So the young men, the spies, went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and set them outside the camp of Israel. Verse 24, and they burned the city with fire and all that was in it, only the silver, the gold, and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. So Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, with her father's household and all that she had, and she lives in Israel even to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, the teaching I have today is entitled "Moving On in the Midst of Opposing Odds." When things seem not to show you a door to success, but you still move on without quitting. When situations that you are facing don't improve, when your financial circumstances are still sinking, when whatever you touch seems to be just turning against you, and you seem to have no hope at all in life, you never need to give up. Like Joshua, see, they were going to take a land which was, in a sense, greater than them, because this land was walled. There were big walls around this city, and the people in the city were armed. They had a strong army. But you know, God instructed Joshua that he should have the priests go with him, the Ark of the Covenant, and some armed men, and they were to march around the city seven times, once every day for 7 days. Then on the seventh day, they were to march around the walls of Jericho seven times. Then the priests with the ram's horns were to blow the horns. Then at the instructions of Joshua, the rest of the people of Israel were to have a victory shout. Now, in the meantime, when they marched around the walls, they were to be quiet. They were to say nothing. Only the priest played the horn, the music from the trumpets. Then the Ark of the Lord marched with them around. But the people had to say nothing. They had to not utter a word. They were to be total silence. Now, what does this teach us? This teaches us that in times of heavy trouble, in times when things don't seem to work for us, we need to be quiet and meditate upon the grace of God. Because it's only the Lord who's going to take us through the hard times. See, when we say too much stuff, when we say too many things, you know, I think it was David or King Solomon. He says, in the multitude of words, when you say too much, you can sin. But when you restrict yourself in what you say, you minimize the chances of you sinning. And so God had instructed these children of Israel not to say a thing as they went around the wall. Why do you think God said don't say anything until the last day when you get instructions from Joshua? I believe, from my own perspective, that I think he didn't want them to start talking defeat. Like, for example, as they are going around the walls, one could say, hey, do you think we're going to get into this city with such wars? Do you think it's possible for us to defeat such a strong army? You see, when words like that begin to brew amongst the people of God, it brings a seed of defeat. It brings a seed of the wrong spirit to start prevailing amongst the people of God. And the wrong spirit of defeat can enter the hearts of strong men. And men who are supposed to be victorious and overcome start to crumble down and succumb to the weak words which are spoken in their ears. You see, the Bible said, if you read it, it said, when God told Moses that he was going to destroy the Amalekites, he said to Moses, he said, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Let him hear it every day, that I will obliterate the trace of Amalek from the face of the earth. So what did Moses have to do? Moses had to rehearse it in the ears of Joshua every day. Tell him, say, look, what God said is going to destroy the trace of Amalek from the face of the earth because they attacked Israel with no reason as they came out of Egypt. So the rehearsing of the destruction of the Amalekites in the ears of Joshua made him remember that. So it's important the things we hear every day are things that are going to govern our lives. In times when things don't seem to work, that's the time you need to speak to yourself that I will succeed. Just like God instructed Moses to rehearse in the ears of Joshua that you obliterate the praises of Amalek from the face of the earth, the same way we need to speak in our hearts and talk and say, this problem I'm facing, it is going to be obliterated. God will give me a breakthrough. The devil is going to be defeated. I'm going to bounce back. I'm going to have the things I had from the beginning. I'm going to have my financial prosperity back. I'm going to have my home back. I'm going to have my job back. I'm going to have my school or whatever it is back. My career back. My business back. You see, you speak the right words. See, in the marching of the children of Israel around the walls of Jericho, God allowed the priests to blow the horns of worship, of music. It's important when you are in such a dilemma to surround yourself with the praises of God. Turn on tapes that play music to the glory of God. Saturate the air around you with the spirit of faith. Speak to God in psalms and spiritual songs and encourage yourself in the Lord. Speak positive words that are going to build you rather than destroy you. Speak words that will build your faith and cause you to be a mighty person of valor. This happened to Joshua. The people, as they marched, they believed the instructions of Joshua. They followed them to the letter. They never made a sound. They just walked and followed the priests as they blew the horns. And they never said a thing. In the times when there is difficulties, you don't know what to do, you can't see the future, don't say much. Don't say much because, you know, when you start to say many things, oh, I don't know what's happening to me, I think I'm, you know, things are not working, whatever I touch seems to turn against me, you are planting a seed that you're going to reap. Begin to say positive things. Say, God is with me. God will see me through. Things are changing to my advantage. I serve a God of wonders and miracles. I know he's coming forth for me. You remember with the Apostle Paul, as they were being shipped to go to Italy, to Rome, where he was going to appear before Caesar. As they went, he had previously told the captain, he said, we do not need to sail in this weather, for he perceived in the spirit that there shall be destruction of the ship and a danger to the lives of all the occupants on the ship. But the Bible tells us that the captain of the ship, instead of listening to the Apostle Paul, he wouldn't listen. He listened to other people other than the man of God. And guess what happened? As they went, the Bible tells us that a fierce contrary wind came against them, known as the Euclidon. This Euclidon wind is a dangerous wind that brings destruction with it. It was going to completely destroy the ship, and each and every one of them was going to lose their lives, were going to die. But guess what? The Apostle Paul, after a long time, these people could not even eat any food. They threw away tackles. They threw away things to enlighten the ship, to reduce the danger that we were facing. But nothing changed. Then after a long abstinence, the Bible tells us, where they didn't eat, they never saw sun nor moon, there was total darkness for a long time, Paul stood up in the ship. He said, brethren, you should have hearkened unto me and listened to me and not have loosed from Crete and incurred all this loss and damage. But be of good cheer, for there came an angel of whose I am and whom I believe, who said unto me, fear not, Paul, for you shall be saved together with all that travel with you, for thou must come before Caesar. And he told them, and say, therefore, brethren, I do believe God, that there shall be no destruction of any life except that of the ship. See, he brought a word of encouragement in the face of great danger, in the face of where there was no hope that things were going to change. In times when things seem bleak and there is no hope for us, we must cling to the scriptures that promise deliverance. See, King David said, I'll look unto the mountain, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Don't start complaining. Don't start blaming yourself of what you did. No, you know, I did a bad thing. I should have been more careful. That's fine, but don't continue accusing yourself, blaming yourself. Remember the message I preached before, to always learn to forgive yourself for the mistakes you made in life. Don't continue blaming yourself for the wrongs that you have gone through. Start speaking positive words that will bless your life. Start talking about God's favor on your life. Say, I know God is working with me, even if it doesn't look like it. Even if I don't see money coming to my hands, I know it's on the way coming to me. Even if I don't see promotion coming my way, I know God is promoting me. You see, be positive. Speak words that build your life. Speak words that bring that authentication in your spirit, man, to assure you that things are changing. You see what I'm saying? Trust God. Can you imagine Joseph? He was sold into slavery by his brothers. And guess what? He ended up in the house of Potiphar. And this man, he had a dream that he was going to be a great person, but it never came to pass. Instead of being great, he was only receiving trouble. Sold by his own brothers. Betrayed. Next, thrown in the pit. Next, sold to the Ishmaelites. Next, sold to Potiphar. Next, Potiphar's wife accuses him of trying to rape her. Next, he ends up in prison. Next, the power of God comes upon him and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He gives a revelation to two of the guys that saved the king. To one, he says, you as the baker, as you saw the birds of the air eat the cake off your head, tomorrow they're going to call for you, and your head is going to be taken off you. To the other, he said, you, as you saw yourself serving the king, restored to the job you did, that's what's going to happen to you. He told the man, once you are restored to the king, please remember me. But that person forgot all about Joseph. The Bible said 2 years passed, he never remembered him. From the time that Joseph received the revelation of the Lord that he was going to be a great person, a leader, it took 13 years for that vision to come to pass. In the meantime, he passed through things which were nothing near being a king. Staying in the prison is nowhere near being a king. Being thrown into the pit and left for dead is nowhere near being a king. Working for Potiphar as a butler in the house, although Potiphar gave him responsibility over the house, fine, but it's nowhere near being a king. But all those were preparations for this man to become a great man in Israel, who saved the whole nation of Israel through him. And so what do we see? We see Joseph finally, the very man who forgot about him, the butler. When the king was in trouble, he said, oh, let this be sin be excused of me, O king. There is a man in prison who gave me a name of what I am today. His name is Joseph. He has a gift from the Lord to interpret dreams. Guess what? Joseph was called from the prison, and he gave the king an interpretation of how that the famine was going to come for 7 years, and then another 7 years. 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. And he said the king must find somebody wise to gather together food and store it in granaries. And the king said, who is fit for this job except you? And so Joseph became vice president of Egypt within a flash. Things can change within a flash. It would seem like it's just happened now, but it started happening from the day you believed. Never lose hope, even when you go through the most trying times in life. Never ever give up on God and say, you know what, I don't think I'm going anywhere. You are going somewhere, because God will not leave you stranded anyway. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is with you in your trying times. God is with you when you're hurting. God is with you. I remember, you know, one time when through wrong association, people playing games, I lost a lot of money. But, you know, God, through his grace, he brought me back. He gave me back. He gave me a nice job. He made me get a brand new car. He made me have a nice home. He let me have nice furniture. But as years go by, still you have trials and temptation. But over it all, I've stood the time of testing. I've still been blessed. Finances have been coming. Promotions have been coming. I have a ministry here in America. I have a big vision. I have a business registered with the city of Dallas. I'm truly important exports. I have a Bible school in plan. I have a school we are planning to come to pass in the future. All these things have been made possible because I named Dr. Lawrence Mwamba, encouraging you, never give up on God, for God is with you. God bless you. Look for my broadcast again tomorrow. I'll talk to you again. God bless you, and bye-bye.